That's right. It's time for Express Yourself, another Friday afternoon here on KDNK. Welcome, welcome. This show is brought to you by the Carbondale Creative District, preserving the creative ethos of Carbondale through advocacy, support, and action. I'm one of your hosts today, Brian Colley, and I'm, of course, joined by my lovely co-host, the one, the only,
Amy Kimberly. And, you know, here on Express Yourself, we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians, and so much more. Here is what's coming up on today's show.
Yeah. A little later, be sure to stick around for an interview with actors Taylor Barr and Brian Landis-Fulkins about their respective roles in the current Thunder River Theater Company's production of Tiny Beautiful Things.
Ooh, and towards the end of today's show, we'll chat with artist Rachel Becker, whose solo show, Cosmic Compost, opens at the Carbondale Arts Gallery next Friday, February 28th. And I'm going to say it goes very well with the coming of March and our Fashion Week,
yeah,
and our kind of focus on sustainability.
And all things spring, springing up. But first, we have special guests, the Mount Cirque performers, with Bryn Lee, Ann Buchanan, and Carrie Vickers as they prepare for Club Noir, premiering at the Carbondale Arts Fashion Show coming up in March. All that and more coming up here on Express Yourself, so
don't touch that dial. All right. Yes, indeed, we are expressing ourselves on this beautiful Friday afternoon. In fact, this is not the last Friday of February, but it sure is going fast. Oh, my God. Scaring me. We are here with the Mount Cirque performers out of Mount Cirque Entertainment. And you may not necessarily know these people through Mount Cirque, but you know them because they are a huge part of the Roaring Fork community, especially in Carbondale. We are here with Carrie Vickers, who also helps oversee Sopra Soarers and puts on, I can't tell you how many shows a year between kids shows and adult shows. And then Bryn Lee, you started at what age as a Sopra Soarer?
I think five.
Five. You were five.
Wow. You started five and you're now 16 and you perform with Mount Cirque. It's cool because you can start in the Sopra Soarers and then you advance to the more advanced group, which are the adults. And then Ann Buchanan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you are a performer.
I am now.
Awesome. Well, you have put together an incredible show for the opening of the Carbondale Arts Fashion Show, Camera Obscura, this year. And you guys have been opening for our show for, gosh, I don't know. How long have you been in existence?
We have been around. Sopra Soarers has been around for around almost 11 years now. But we've been doing not even just the opening show, but also within the show for, I want to say, 7 years off and on. There's a COVID chunk in there.
Yeah, but 2 years.
Fortunate enough to be involved, and you guys have been kind enough to continue to give us the opening show for a number of years. And what's been great for us is we used to do it with our young students, and now we've built into a full performing adult troupe, and it's been such a great thing for us, and it's so fun to be able to bring that to our community on such a large stage.
Well, we love it. You really bring a lot to the show. And this year, we're going into Club Noir. Yeah. So can you give the audience a little vibe feeling of Club Noir?
I would absolutely love to give everybody a little vibe. Club Noir is a Moulin Rouge-y burlesque 1940s feeling club that you guys get to come in and join before the big show starts. And there will be a number of aerial performances both on the stage, off the stage. We're partnering with two of the dancers from the show, Melly and Vicky. And we have a fabulous male escort who will be joining us. So I highly recommend you come on out. There's a lot of unique aerial performances. And of course, what Mount Cirque is known for. We have some new aerial apparatus that we cannot wait to share with the crowd.
Yes, I think, you know, we'll have to give a little taste because I am going to have to ask you a little bit. But Anne, let's ask you, is this your first year performing at the show?
This is my second year.
Okay, second. Yeah. You performed last year.
Yeah.
And how was it? How did it feel?
It was amazing. It was much more challenging than I was expecting, but also inspiring. I love that all of the women and men are just all different ages. Everyone is so strong and creative, and we push each other so much. So I absolutely loved it. It's our own community. We lift each other up and help each other with our routines and as friends, so I'm really lucky to be a part of it.
That's nice. And what will you be performing on?
I will be on a mini lira.
Wow, a mini lira?
Yes, it is a mini lira. So it's going to be fun. I think, how many feet am I in the air?
Anne is going to be probably 18 feet in the air on top of our onstage peep show.
Ooh. All right. And Bryn Lee, what are you?
I'm performing on a seer with the two silks attached to it, kind of like in a teepee shape.
Wow.
She is on the peep show as well. It's a beautiful onstage apparatus that will have two open sail silks, and Bryn Lee has choreographed a brilliant piece. I'm very excited for everybody to see it alongside one of our other performers, Catherine DeFranco.
That's great. So you choreographed?
Yeah.
Okay. So was this your first time choreographing, or have you been doing that for a while?
I've been choreographing for some of the kids' shows, and yeah. Some of my own routines, and other than that, this is it.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, so let's explain. Carrie, can you just give a little taste of what you might be doing?
Absolutely. We have two fabulous performers who will be aerial bartending, which is going to be a really fun addition to the show this year at the Bar Noir. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we have the Bar Noir.
Yes.
We have over crowd performers on aerial hammocks in bead cages. We have a lot of fun pieces going on stage. There's a little cabaret feel to it in the on stage. We have some chair apparatus performances. I'm trying to find the right word, Amy. It's very film noir.
Yeah, which is so cool. And that's what we love about Mount Cirque performers, because you love to rise to whatever the theme is. You like go all in and create these amazing experiences. Like, people might not understand, what is an aerial bartender, right? What's that feeling going to be like? You don't get to experience that every day here in Carbondale. This is very kind of Parisian and retro and, you know, everything. And then I'm going to say, I've watched Carrie a little bit here, and her performance, you know, when you say a chair, like, I don't think people understand. A chair, people, not only is it hanging, but it's hanging on chains.
Hanging on chains.
Ooh, it looks kind of painful.
It's a little painful, but I've been working pretty hard on it, and I've been able to train with Stacey over a number of years on working on unique apparatus to, I want to say we like to numb the muscles to the pain, but we really wanted to bring something special to the show, and having spoken with Megan and you, having an idea of what the in-show pieces might lean towards, we wanted to really play into that so that it was a nice cohesive show.
Yeah, I'll look. See, me and Carrie are separated by a little screen that makes us want to look at each other, but we can't, and so we move away from the mic. So we're like, hey. But yes, we can hear you much better if you talk in the mic. Well, this is exciting, and as you, this is for Brinley and Anne, as you develop as aerialists, you know, what are the things that excite you about this art form and where you feel you each personally can go in it?
It excites me about the art form because it's amazing. You know, when you're up on the Lyra, the different shapes that you can get into and using all your different muscles and then flowing from one to the other and hanging and, you know, just to clarify for people who don't know what a Lyra is, it's like a metal hula hoop. And so it's really fun. And I like to do lots of pull-ups too.
Wow.
Try and get that upper body strength going. We all have to do that, but it's exhausting. It's amazing what 30 minutes up there does for all of us. We're just sweating and panting. But yeah, I just look forward to more and more challenging routines. I think I'm doing 4 this show. So it went from a small pre-show routine in the back to dancing.
Anne's on the main stage this year and is doing a beautiful job of playing the part of our madame on top of our peep show on stage.
Nice.
And she has stepped up to the plate and added a new routine as of today. And I cannot tell you guys what an amazing job she's doing. This girl is powerful. She's a mother of 3. She volunteers at the thrift store. She's the kind of girl you want up there.
No. Awesome. And Brinley, what about you?
I really like working on new apparatuses. Like, this one is super different just because you don't have that freedom to, like, lift the silk and wrap yourself in it. It's more restraint and kind of, it's definitely a different way of fabric theory, I guess. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So if someone wants to get involved with Mount Cirque or Sopris Soars, well, how do they do that?
You can either stop by Carbondale Arts at the launch pad is where we primarily teach out of, or online you can reach out to soprasoars.com, whether that's to get in touch with Mount Cirque Entertainment or join classes or sign your kids up.
Okay, and then do you guys still do the Friday morning, like...
Every Friday morning, I do teach an adult mixed level aerial. It's where most of our adults train. And we have a lovely group, all different levels, and we just have a lot of fun. We've always tried to bring the audience into the air. It's something that I've always loved about our organization. And it's a great way to meet people. It's a great workout. And we've really built just kind of a family. We have a lot of fun together, and we work really hard, and we really love it.
That's fantastic. Well, we have a few other little guests in the studio that are deeply involved in performing arts and performing as well. Would you two like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Ray.
I'm Tilly.
All right, and you both are involved in some projects right now. You want to tell us about them?
Sure. Right now I am like kind of one of the assistant stage managers for the show Junie B. Jones, which is Soul Theater's one of their shows that is going on right now. I really am just helping out like backstage, making sure everyone remembers their blocking, and during the show I'll be helping out with set changes.
It's very important, actually. And Junie B. Jones shows the week after the fashion show. So that would be like 13th, 14th, something like that. Yeah, and that will be at Thunder River. And then what are you doing, Ray?
Right now, I am in the Silk show No Place Like Home, which is kind of like a play on like The Wizard of Oz and Wicked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I play the role of Glinda.
The Good Witch. Aww.
Yeah, that show will be on March 14th and 15th, I believe.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, it's just a busy, busy time. So all of the Vickers, basically you can see them perform or help in a performance in the first several weeks of March. We're going to call that Vickers March. Oh, that's fantastic, you guys. So the Ariel show, is that going to be where?
The Ariel show will be taking place at Third Street Center before they start their renovation.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So where are we going to see the next Mount Cirque performance?
After fashion show, we'll be coming into our kids' shows. But as far as our next adult performance, right now we're looking ahead to Mountain Fair and getting ready to dance.
That's right. That's right. Yay. The time is coming. Well, thank you all for coming. I cannot wait to see what you bring to the fashion show. You always really spice things up year after year. And there's going to be, what, some trapeze as well?
There'll be two trapeze performers as well as two hammock bead cage performers. And our two aerial bartenders are going to be so fun. So definitely stop by the Bar Noir to take a look at them as well.
You won't be able to miss them, pretty sure of it.
No, it's going to be a great show. We're really looking forward to it and really appreciative of the space, again, Amy, to show our art.
Well, wow. Well, thanks so much for doing what you do. And people can follow you. Is there a webpage at all?
We do have an Instagram page, Mount Circus, or my Instagram page is Carrie Messner Vickers. Both of those are places to check us out. Also, again, SoperSource.com. All places to look, but we'll start posting some things on Instagram and maybe give you guys a little peep show of what's coming up.
I know. I can't wait to see the outfits. Well, thanks for being here. And just everybody take care. Nobody hurt themselves anytime in the next month.
Got it? Thank you, Amy.
All right. You. Thank you. All right. Tainted Love. Thank you. Mount Cirque entertainment coming our way in a couple weeks. But now in the studio, we have two incredible performers that are performing in Thunder River Theater Company's Tiny Beautiful Things this weekend and through March 2nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with talkbacks on Sunday. So we have Taylor Barr and Brian, I got to say it right. Can you say the whole name?
Brian Landis Fulkins.
That's it. I was going to say Brian Fulkins Landis. But
it's all right. Yeah. I would still come by that name.
Yeah. And you both perform in the show. And Brian, my Brian.
Yeah.
My Brian. Brian Colley saw the show last week. I have not seen it yet. I'm seeing it tonight. People are just raving about the show. Real quick, the show is really based on Cheryl Strayed's experience as a writer that had a column, an advice column.
That's right.
She went under the name of Sugar.
Yep.
And then there's characters that she took some of the letters and that's where you guys come in. Could you explain who you both are?
Well, and just to say a little further, there was a colleague of hers that started this online column and did it for about a year. And then Cheryl reached out to the column and was like a fan letter.
Oh.
And it was the one fan letter they ever received. And so he reached out to her and was like, I'm not really passionate about this. I was wondering if you would like to take over the column. And so she did, and she did it for a couple of years. And then she took all the letters and her replies from that two-year period and made a book, Tiny Beautiful Things. And then a playwright took all those from the book and kind of condensed it down into the play that we are doing at Thunder River.
That's awesome. And you know, one thing they say about the book, and I love this, it's kind of covers love, searching, and self-identity with poetics, anxiety, and celebrity. Is that a good description?
Just about, yeah.
So, Taylor, who do you play?
I play letter writer number 3. I'm also the technical director at Thunder River. So building the sets and then jumping onto the set all dusty and playing pretend. But all the letter writers are 5 to 7 different people throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have about 4 main characters that we happen to play.
Mm-hmm.
Main meaning like we have like mini monologues.
Right,
that
right.
We do. And then we have these smaller kind of interjections throughout the whole play. So when you come between the 3 letter writers, you'll see a couple dozen different characters.
Right. So how is it as actors when you are preparing for a part where you're playing several different people?
Oh,
right?
For me, it's a joy. I'm a character actor. I love the opportunity to, you know, stretch, see how far you can take, and to see how simply you can make a change from character to character with maybe just a little costume piece, an accent, the way you hold your body, posture. I love it.
Yeah, fun. Fun's the word for it.
So, like, just Taylor, can you tell us just a few different characters you might be playing? Like,
The first character I play is a young man who is trying to understand what love is, and that's something we can all understand a little bit. Mm-hmm. We feel it, but do we really understand it? Do we need to?
Right.
And at one point, both of us play 13-year-old girls.
That's a
very
you're fun
kidding
scene.
Me. Yeah. Oh,
not
my God. Yeah. Oh, that is
so it shows
funny.
You the whole range in which we're kind of exploring here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Good.
And so when you were developing your characters through the rehearsal process, what was that like? How does Missy work with you in bringing that out?
Well, Missy's a really fun director in that she wants us to be involved, and she'll ask us questions about our characters and ask us to delve into them and answer it for ourselves rather than just telling us what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
She's also very much an actor's director because she comes from the acting side of things. And so she sets up a safe space where we can just explore and play and try things and kind of experiment until we find something that works for both of us, which is a really kind of loving environment. I very much enjoy working with Missy on stage, but this was a kind of a new experience to work with her in the room as a director-actor relationship. Wow. That is wonderful.
I find that it allows us to change our acting as we're going through the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we find what really works and what works even better and better.
Yeah, it's fun to watch you both up on the stage. Just from moment to moment, you're shifting, and you can see that in your body and your costume. And it's just you said it's fun, so I that comes across very well.
Thank you very much. I'm glad it's fun for you too.
Well, and it's also a roller coaster. Like there's a lot of fun things happening, but it's also a very serious play about, you know, life and emotions and the things that we all go through as people throughout life, with relationships and all kinds. It's just the gamut of life up on that stage. It's incredible. One moment you're laughing, the next moment, like Brian, you have a very emotional scene playing a father who's lost a child, and you bring it out so well. Like you are making tears come out of your eyes.
By magic.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how
I feel it. That's how you do it. You just you understand the character's circumstances and you put yourself in those shoes. And I have two kids myself, and I can only imagine what that grief is like to lose a child.
Yeah. Well, it comes through very palpably.
Thank you so much.
And there's both of you on the stage, and then there's two other actors. I'd love for you to give them a shout out.
The two Jennifers, yeah.
The two Jennifers.
We've got Jen Klink playing letter writer number two, mm-hmm. and we have Jennifer Austin Hughes playing Sugar.
Yes, yes.
Both and very talented.
They're phenomenal.
It's amazing just having the four of you, and just the play just feels so full. I mean, because the characters are moving around, but it's just a very impactful way of presenting what Sugar is all about and what Cheryl Strayed put together in that book.
I mean, for me, it's one of the most human stories about what it means to be human. Mm-hmm. And I think it just covers, you know, the whole gamut of these feelings that we experience while we're here and deep, meaningful relationships. And it just shows you when a advice columnist makes a connection through their own personal experience, what can happen.
Yeah.
In that is just magic. And it's an honor to do the words.
And it almost makes me wonder, because you do it so many times and because it is such a deep work and could go in so many ways, are there like many things you discover as you continue to do it?
Yes. Between the first and second weekend of shows, I've found quite a bit out about one of my characters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think you're doing your job unless you're making discoveries all through the process. And the process is both being in the room, in the rehearsal room, and it's through performance. There are things that the audience tells you through their reactions, through that exchange of energy. It's what's so magical about both performing theater and attending theater is that exchange of energy you're not going to get on your couch at home watching TV in the way that you do when you sit in a dark theater and experience a story that way. And the discoveries, you know, one of the greatest things an actor can do is listen and listen well, right? And I think through listening, we hear new things every night. Mm-hmm. And we're listening to our fellow actors. And for this show specifically, for the most part, we don't leave the stage. Mm-hmm. And so we're often watching our fellow actors' performances, and we're listening to those words every night. But they hit you differently, depending on what space you're in and depending on what space the other actor's in.
Yeah.
And so it's magic every night. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brian, actually, this is not your first performance at Thunder River Theater.
I was like, definitely not my first.
We're going to get into your career here a little bit, because this man, he has been around.
He has been around.
Not only in live theater, but TV, film. You were not kidding when you said you're a character actor. You pursue that.
I do.
Really in an aggressive way, which is what you need to do to be able to make it in this world
and eat.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like making your way as an actor, basically.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. And, you know, it's something I've done very intentionally. You know, I've been working as a professional actor for 30 years, and you have to get creative within the creativity if you want to eat. Both as an artist and as a human, you know.
Well, just give our audience a little taste of the wide array of things you've done.
Sure, sure. You know, I taught for many years. I taught acting and juggling at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. I did children's theater as a day job for about 20 years. I've done atmosphere performing at big corporate events and parties where you're like a living statue, or you're some kind of character, or you're a strolling blackjack dealer. There's so many different ways to make a living as an actor. I also do performance capture for video games. So I strap on the old spandex, put the little balls all over the suit, and jump around, let the computer collaborate to you. That's a really fun and interesting way to earn a buck.
Wow.
I've done lots of films, short films, feature films.
And you have a potential?
I have many potential, but there's one potential big project that's lurking right around the corner, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that that goes smoothly.
Wow, yeah. That's so good. That's so good. And last year you were at Thunder River Theater.
I was.
And you performed in?
Endgame by Samuel Beckett. I played Clove, which won me Best Actor last year at the Henry Awards, which is our kind of Colorado equivalent to the Tonys, which is wonderful. It's very humbling to be seen by your community and have that work be appreciated, especially after decades of doing the work and kind of trying to fit the shoes of a character actor. And I think Clove in Endgame is like the quintessential character. I mean, what an opportunity that was.
That was an amazing performance, too. Now, Taylor, as you mentioned before, you are the tech director for Thunder River Theater.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. And so you built this amazing set, but this is the first performance you've been in since you've been here with Thunder River, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and I'm very excited to finally grace our stage. It's been, this is my second season. So, I mean, obviously I'm very lucky to be this early in the process.
Yeah, and we got you pretty fresh out of school, is that correct?
Yeah, I had one summer in upstate New York working for props for Cortland Repertory Theater. Mm-hmm. And but if it weren't for them, I'd have been here in April. But I had already signed a contract, and
So did you act in school as well, or were you mainly focused on tech?
I did act for the most part, and that's where I really got into theater. And there was a point at my college where they kind of sat us down and were like, "This is a great thing for you to want to do, but not every actor makes it. Try to look into tech."
Uh-huh.
And so I did. And I focused on the technical side of everything. And now I do all of the technical side of everything for Thunder River.
What does that entail with the technical? You say technical. What is the technical?
So we've got our designers that handle the idea part, but those ideas have to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And I make that happen. So we have our lighting designers. There's the lights. This is the set itself. There's a sound design. And there could be more beyond that. Depending on the show, there's props. There's sometimes motors
and
on stage.
For this show, there's projections.
Yeah, yeah, for this show, we have projections.
I was gonna say, they're really special.
Our own Jennifer Austin Hughes was the one to be the lead person for projections on this one.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the set itself, that's quite an undertaking. Is that something you were able to do all by yourself? Because that's
almost. I was so close to having this one done by myself.
It's incredible.
No, we had 2.5 weeks to get this one done. Whoa. So I did have to call on some help. That was a bit of a truncated process, bit of a challenge to ourselves, see how fast we could get it done. But yeah, we got some help from just around the town.
Nice.
Some volunteers from Theater Aspen even came down. So,
oh, great. Nice.
Yeah, tying everyone together, getting everyone involved.
To be 25 again, be able to work all day and all night.
Yeah, it's like a full. You have a full like living room with a kitchen with like a little like half step up to this like office kind of thing. It's you have so much, and plus the projections, you're hanging, you know, panels around, and I mean, people just got to check it out, really.
That's the very nice part about working in a black box for our theater, is that we can do anything. You don't have to just stare at it from 30 feet away. You're in it. And we can hang anything from anywhere, build anything anywhere. I screw into the floor because it's our theater. We can
well,
do what
and
we
you
want.
You built the set for Endgame, which Brian was in, right?
Yes.
Oh, I love that set. That was just a crazy set.
That was wild.
What a treat to make that set.
Yeah.
That was by Colin Tugwell. Mm-hmm. He designed that.
Oh, interesting.
Our local Colin.
But in both of those sets, the gorgeous, both of them, you deeply see Taylor's artistry, because he does take his artistry and takes liberties with the sets and just makes these details that are so beautiful. I mean, he is an artist on and off set. So it's a pleasure to work with him.
I'm blushing.
Aww. Blushing on radio.
Well, you know, we got really lucky getting you here, because it's not easy for anyone to move here and work in a theater, because, you know, we try to pay decently, let's be real. It's you know, there's a lot of love involved when you're doing theater. And so we really lucked out when Sean went and found you, and just watching you grow as an artist and a human, and, as you know, it's been great. And for KDNK listeners, Taylor's partner, Lily, you can hear on KDNK quite a bit.
That's right.
Yeah, so you both have enhanced our community, and it's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Brian, you know, you're like almost a local.
I'm like a second cousin once removed.
We'll make it.
But I just can't stay away. Once I got up here, I just found myself coming back and coming back.
That's how it works.
I see the magic of the valley.
Well, we're hoping if you do become really famous, you don't forget us. When you become really famous, you don't forget us here.
Well, never.
I am so excited to see it tonight. And I have heard, you know, bring some
tissues.
Please.
Yeah. But for those that haven't bought tickets yet, you can get them at thunderrivertheater.com. Are you guys?
We're commercial.
Yeah,
it's
and
true.
Theater is R-E.
Yes.
Theater.
Theater. And on Sundays, there's a matinee, which is at 2, and then there's a talk back after. It's one of my mother's favorite ones to go to.
Love it.
I told her we had to go tonight. But so the talk backs are, people love these talk backs. They get to really hear from you guys. So if anyone is interested in that. Otherwise, the shows are at 7:30 on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and there's tickets available. And you know, this show should be sold out every night.
It is selling quickly. I mean, you better jump at the opportunity, because it's going to close next weekend regardless. Oh, wow. We have to move on. And so do not miss the show.
That's right, because Taylor has to build another set.
He's
got to
build another set.
Thankfully, this one is staying up for a month or two after. We are repurposing it.
Oh,
we're getting really good about that.
Awesome.
Smart.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being here, both of
you. Thank you for having
us. And I'll see you later,
even though
you might not see, you know, you'll be in your characters.
We'll say hi.
We'll say hi after.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Italy. Not New York. I don't know what I was doing there. I was just there. I got the sandwich one day, and they gave me a newspaper with it. It was the only newspaper they had there that was in English. And they had all the news from all around the world just crammed into 4 pages. Didn't even have any funnies in there, you know. Every time you turn a page, something just jumped right out at you, you know. I found an old friend in there, and I wrote her a song. It's for dear Abby. Dear Abby, dear Abby, my feet are too long. My hair's falling out and my rights are all wrong. My friends, they all tell me that I've no friends at all. Won't you write me a letter? Won't you give me a call? Signed, Bewildered. Bewildered, bewildered, you have no complaint. You are what you are and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, my fountain pen leaks. My wife hollers at me and my kids are all freaks. Every side I get up on is the wrong side of bed. If it weren't so expensive, I'd wish I were dead. Signed, Unhappy. Unhappy, unhappy, you have no complaint. You are what you are and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, you won't believe this, but my stomach makes noises whenever I kiss. My girlfriend tells me it's all in my head, but my stomach tells me to write you instead. Sign, Noisemaker.
All right, thank you, Thunder River Theater, for doing all the good things you do in this community. You are tuned in to Express Yourself here on KDNK, and I think I have a special guest on the phone. Are you there, Rachel? Thanks for joining us. I'd love to talk to you about your show. You've got a solo show, Rachel Becker, with Cosmic Compost, opening at the Carbondale Arts Gallery, which is located inside Launchpad, which is next Friday, February 28th. I'd love to have you share just a general overview about what this show Cosmic Compost is all about. Can you give us a little rundown of what your show will encompass?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to create an environment that feels like you're in a temple that's honoring decomposition and decay.
Decomposition and decay. Sounds so dark.
Ooh. Well, it'll be very magical and sparkly is my goal.
Yay. Sparkly and magic. I think that's what we need sometimes in the world. And I also love the intro you wrote for your artist biography. It says, Rachel is a student of slowness, grief, joy, and mystery, and a devoted admirer of compost. Can you talk about some of your background and evolving interest of all things compost?
Yeah, so I became fascinated with compost a few years ago, just seeing how we can take food scraps and discarded things and then bring them into a place where they can be transformed and become rich soil. It felt like such a beautiful metaphor for just navigating life and all the things that break down and fall apart. And I was involved in farming for a few years and got to experience that process and really be in the compost. I always just found it so cathartic. And with that, I've also a training to be a death doula, and so I've been beginning doing that kind of work, and I just think there's, death and decomposition, I feel like they get a bad rap, but they're also the processes that allow for life to continue, and so I just want to give that process, that part of the process, a moment to be appreciated.
Yeah, I love that. I'd love to hear also more, I know your exhibition touches on end of life, and you've studied death care and education. Can you talk about what it is to be a death doula for those who might not know more about that, or death doula. I've heard of like a doula, which is usually someone at a birth helping give birth, but death doula sounds like maybe the end of life process.
Right. So a death doula is, basically like a midwife for death.
Mm-hmm.
So someone that can help just ease that passage, either for the person that's dying themselves or for the family or both. And essentially it's providing holistic support, non-medical care. So it wouldn't be administered medicine or anything like that, but it's more providing spiritual support, helping out with anything from planning burial arrangements to sitting at the bedside, offering grief support. It's sort of a newer profession that is gaining a lot more attention in the past few years.
Yeah. We haven't had a show like this at Carbonyl Arts, I don't think, since I've been the gallery manager the past 10 years or so. And I would love to hear more about why you wanted to specifically highlight some of these concepts for your show. And I always encourage the artists coming into the gallery to explore not just like what's in the room, what they're maybe painting or sculpting, like literally. And so I love how you're bringing this all out because it relates to what you do and your life. But just curious how you came up with this as like a gallery exhibition, I guess. Put you on the spot.
I think I'm always curious about finding creative ways to start the conversation around death.
Right. Yeah.
And make it just more accessible, you know, and not so scary, because it is something that all of us have to face. And so I think inviting people into the forum, although they have a little bit of distance from the actual topic itself, but in a way that allows them to consider it in a more, natural, playful way. I think it's hard to start those conversations oftentimes.
Sure.
So I think like creating this kind of prompt hopefully can do that. And it's exciting to me. I think, the playfulness of it just it kind of catches people off guard, I think.
Mm-hmm. It does tend to be like a taboo subject. And I really appreciate the angle that you're going at it, which is just a very authentic and passionate approach to this subject matter. So thank you for that candor. I wonder if you could talk about some of the specific works that you're preparing for this space. I know you haven't started your installation yet. That'll be next week ahead of your Friday opening, but maybe you could talk and share maybe one or two of the things you're excited about.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm using mostly.
Wait, say that again. You broke up for a second.
Oh, sorry. I'm using a lot of found materials.
Uh-huh.
And just discarded objects that were somewhere. And so one of those is fruit peels. I'm using fruit peels and a bunch of that I found to create these garlands that will hang from the ceiling. So it'll sort of feel like you're walking through these weird vines. And I'm also creating an altar at the center of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Using a lot of dried flowers, branches, things that can actually organically decompose. Just work with what I have, but also try to incorporate more materials that could theoretically be composted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Carbonyl Arts has a small gallery committee, and we had a small group come out to your space last week, and it was exciting to see in person what you've been working on and all the things you've been collecting to make it happen. And I know you've been working with other community members to kind of collect some of the peels and other material. It was really exciting to see things coming into shape. I know you proposed this show last spring, so we're finally getting some visuals on it. It's really great. Mm-hmm. I also know you're planning a couple of other extra activities during the duration of your show. I don't know if you wanted to share anything about those just to kind of entice people about some other engaging ways with this show.
Sure. So one of the things I'll be offering is a guided death meditation. Essentially what that means is that people will be invited to bring a yoga mat or a blanket or something to lay on, and I will guide people through about a half an hour, 45 minute long meditation where they imagine their body dying and imagine letting go of their body and watching it kind of disintegrate and return back to the earth. And it's something that I did in my death doula training, and thought it was really beautiful and made me feel very alive. So I think that's like something that I want to get across, is that interacting and thinking about death actually can improve our quality of life and make our experience of life rich. So yeah, I'll be offering that meditation and then also a grief ritual for people to participate in, just to create more spaces where we can process grief and become better at navigating and working with it as a life experience.
Yeah. And I that is an interesting point that you bring up. Talking about death can also kind of spur thoughts about where you are in your life right now and how lucky we are to be here at all. And I look forward to hearing some of those conversations with people when they come through the gallery next week. That's really cool. And I also think it's an interesting time to bring this kind of subject matter up with where we are in the country. I mean, also the time of year we're being kind of reborn with nature coming back from winter. But there's just like a lot of, I don't know, similarities into like where we are in our own lives as a country and, just here seasonally. But, any thoughts on that? Have you been thinking about, how to relate to some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're in a time obviously of a lot of change and chaos, and in my own life, I think I've spent a lot of time resisting change, and trying to forestall it or prevent it. And, what I've been working on more is just trying to accept that change is, you know, it's like the fabric of our reality. So learning how to accept it, but also realize that I also am an agent of change, so I can, I can be part of change. I am part of change.
Yeah.
It's multi-layered, but I think the better we can be at accepting change, maybe the more at peace we will be with all the things that are constantly changing.
I love that. Rachel, your show opens next Friday, February 28th from 5 to 7. Come here, Rachel. And Kirsty Steiner is another visual artist coming to the Launchpad Carbondale Arts Gallery. Rachel, thank you so much for being on this show. Speaking of change, we got to change it over to NPR. But thank you so much and look forward to seeing you next Friday.
Thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
You too.